of a series called Stand. Everybody stand? Okay, everybody sit. I just want to see if you're following the stand. Okay, we're in a series called Stand. All right, so stand. We're in a series called Stand. And what we're doing is we're doing some of the stories in the book of Daniel. Daniel has 12 chapters, so, hey, I could probably go 12 weeks, but I'm not. But we're on week two, and last week was first week, and we said we are to stand out. We are to stand out. You're not always to blend, okay? You're not to blend. You're not to blend that somebody can't tell who your Savior is. You need to stand out. So that was last week. If you missed it, please go get the tape. You can go online. Tape. You know how old I am. Hallelujah. Get the CD. Hallelujah. Get the CD. Or else you can listen to it free online. Today we're going to do Standing Strong. And so the title of the message is called Standing Strong. How do we stand strong in the middle of opposition? Troubles. Stuff. Missiles. Yuck. All right, how do we stand strong? So, now it's really interesting to do this story. The story, you can have a turn over to page 743, Daniel chapter 6. If you'd like a Bible, we've got some in the back. If you want to use your cell phone app, go ahead, but don't go on Facebook. God, watch them. All right. Daniel chapter 6. How many of you have grown up in children's ministry where they had the flannel boards, the flannel people? All right. And you had Noah and the animals and Daniel in the lion's den. So because of that, it's actually, I'm not doing anything. I'm really behaving, you guys. It's okay. I don't care. I'm good. Mark's giving me the look. Okay. I didn't do anything. All right. We're just going to watch Mark for 2 seconds. Watch him do. Mark goes shades of red sometimes. Okay, I'll give you a glass to clean my glasses. They're really bad today. All right. So if you've grown up in children's ministry, sometimes it's a challenge to do Daniel chapter 6. Sometimes it's a challenge to do this because you've grown up in children's ministry. And usually you have stuck in your mind that Daniel's this young buff guy. And he goes into the lion's den. And these are these cute, big, fluffy lions. And he curls up and they just purr next to him. Well, the reality is it's nothing like that. Daniel chapter 6 is nothing like that. The reality is Daniel is in his 60s. Excuse me, 80s. Excuse me. I'm in my 60s. He's in his 80s. Daniel is in his 80s in Daniel chapter 6. He's in his 80s. He's an old guy, young at heart, but getting up there, okay? And actually, he's been walking with God for 80 plus years. Wonderful, wonderful. And the reality is those lions are not some cute little fuzzy thing. Matter of fact, you should have an awesome respect of lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, no. Okay? And I've only seen lions in cages, and I still have a respect for them. So these are not like the flannel people, all right? So let me give you a little bit of background before we start. Better yet, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us, that you've given this word, that it brings light to our life. It brings strength to our life. It gives direction to our life. And today, we ask you to open up our eyes, open up our ears, that we might hear the truth and have direction, correction, encouragement through your word today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, so like I said, Daniel's in his 80s. He is now serving under a different king. Last week we did chapter 1, and it was King Nebuchadnezzar. This is now his third king in chapter 6 that he's serving under, King Darius, all right? So it's his third king. You know, the Lord, I was like cracking up while I was studying this week. He's 80 years old. He's on his third president, right? And he's not retired. This retirement stuff, I have lots to think on. Really goofy. Okay, so he's not retired. He's sharp as a tack. Okay, he doesn't have dementia. He's sharp, all right? Now, the interesting thing about this King Darius, he's actually considered, history sort of calls him this administrative genius. Because when King Darius finally gets into office, takes over, you know, they don't have a vote, he just takes over, all right, takes over in Babylon, he goes in and he starts rearranging everything. And what he does is he sets up 120 provinces. Now, how do I explain that? 120 states. We live in the United States, but we have how many states here? Do you even know? Tell me. 50 states in the Union. All right. Okay. So I saw the look. Someone like, okay. What do you do in Puerto Rico? Okay. Anyway. So he comes in and he rearranges everything. He divides the kingdoms into 120 provinces or states. And then he appoints 120 satraps. Such a funny word. Basically, they are rulers or governors. Okay, can you follow the governor thing? Like we have governors of states. Okay, anybody know our governor? Thank you. Shh. Town behave. Okay. So we've got 120 of these governors that are over these provinces. And then King Darius picks three administrators over the 120 guys. Okay. So roughly three into 120 is? Gosh. Get your cell phone. 40. Okay, so we've got these three administrators, or they're probably roughly over 40 states, okay? And Daniel is one of the three. Daniel's one of the three administrators. And his job is to watch over these governors. Probably they make the taxes. Hopefully they balance the checkbook. And they try to make everything so it's good for the king. That's my version of this administrator. So let's read Daniel chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, it'll give you a little more detail. Here we go. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account to, so that the king might suffer no loss. They had a job, so they would go good with the king, all right? Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because, underline this, an excellent spirit was found in him. Interesting. And the king planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. So here we see Daniel standing out. He is standing out in the way he is servicing the king, the way he is an administrator. He is standing out in a spirit of excellence. He's wisdom. He's faithful. He's not a meatball on the job. He stands out. Okay, this is Daniel. Now, the king also sees him stand out, actually, I want to say head and shoulders above everybody else. And he wants to appoint him, actually, second in command. The king, and then Daniel. That's how excellent this guy is standing out. Everybody say, standing out. All right. Now, think about what a great testimony. I should call your boss up and say, hey, is Kathy standing out? And they're going to say, of course, she's got an excellent spirit, right? Yeah. Okay. And listen, the guy's 80 plus years old. I'm already planning on taking a nap this afternoon. Okay? This guy is working. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, now, this sounds like a great day. Wow, don't you think so? Daniel's got this promotion coming. Doesn't that sound like a great day? Matter of fact, he's been faithfully serving God. He's been able to be a witness. That sounds like a great day, doesn't it? Well, sort of, kind of not. Because what happens is that promotion from within introduces a lot of problems from without. All right? So what happens is those other administrators, those other two guys, they become jealous. Where there's jealousy and envying and strife, there's all sorts of evil, right? Where's that scripture? In the Bible. Okay. So they become envious and they want to take him down. They are so jealous, they want to take him out and take him down. So what happens is, though interesting, is throughout all this, he's going to walk into a whole lot of opposition. Throughout all this opposition, we're going to watch Daniel stand strong. Stand strong. And it's interesting. You're going to find the only way Daniel stands strong is because he has developed a relationship, a faith relationship, really, with his God. And that's what will make Daniel stand strong. So actually, I gave you the end of the story. All right. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to give you three truths. So if you're writing notes, take the first one down. Truth number one, this will help you stand if you've got some opposition, trials, stuff going on. Ready? Number one, when God raises you up, by the way, this isn't fun. It just is what it is. But when God raises you up, you can usually bet on it, expect people to try to tear you down. I don't want to say amen, but it's true. Thank you. Write this down. So when God raises you up, you can expect people to tear you down. Are you, Pastor D, you're just getting out of faith and negative and all that stuff. No, guys, honey, let me tell you, it's the truth. It just happens. All right. Now, let's say you receive a promotion and the girls that you work with, your girls that you go out to lunch with, you get the promotion. You would think they should be excited for you. Get a bunch of ladies? No, they're all jealous of you and they're critical of you. Like, I can't believe you got the promotion, all right? Or maybe let's say you are so excited for your faith in Jesus, and every time you see somebody, you have a good report. You say, guys, I got to tell you, I got a praise report. And people make fun of you. And you walk in, and even Christians, you walk in, they're like, oh my gosh, when is she going to get over this? She'll cool down when she gets a little bit older in the Lord. It sounds like jealousy, right? All right, I've had that happen. How about maybe God spoke to you that it is time to get serious and get out of debt, and you do that plastic surgery thing on your credit cards, and people start criticizing you and just picking at you. First off, it's my credit cards, but they think they can pick at you. Why'd you do that? You're not going to be able to have any fun. You won't be able to buy a this and a that. I'm going, excuse me, God spoke to me. Or this one, I've had this happen. God has spoken to you to be a stay-home mom and to invest in your kids. And you give up this good-paying job. And they're all just all over your case. You should go back to work. You'd make a ton of money. Wait a minute. I told you, God spoke to me to stay home, invest in my kids, be the one to train them up for a season. And they're just picking on you. So you are doing what God called you to do. And then God raises you up. And then that rah, 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 starts pulling you down. Anybody have any of those things ever happen? God raises you up. All right. Now, I like to call this the crab syndrome. Many years ago, in a far, far away place. No, my kid. We'd go crabbing. We'd get our turkey necks on a string and we'd throw them over and we'd catch crab and we'd throw them in a bucket. And we'd get about a dozen or so in the bucket. And every one time I started watching these crabs in a bucket. And you know, all of a sudden, one little brave little crab starts trying to climb up on top of everybody. I want to escape. I want to escape out of this bucket because I'm going to be Pastor D's dinner. All right. But the rest of those crabs start They want to tear you down. It, like, if I'm in the bucket, you're staying in the bucket, and we're in the bucket, you're not. Anybody ever watch that with crabs in a bucket? Yeah. Take me crabbing. So, the crab syndrome is when God raises you up, people like to tear you down, don't they? All right? Now, this is exactly what happened in Daniel chapter 6. Exactly the story. All right? Look over to verse 4 and 5. All right, this time I'm going to read this out of the NIV version, okay? Daniel 6, 4 and 5. At this time, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. That's what they're doing. You see them crabs? Okay? They tried to find charges against Daniel in his conduct of governmental affairs. I was going to say something about a government workers, but we'll leave it at that, okay? But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis of charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So in other words, these guys all get together, right? They're trying to yank him down, and they're looking for some dirt, some scandal on Daniel so they can just have a smear campaign against him, right? All right? And they couldn't dig up any dirt on him. They couldn't dig up any dirt. They found out that he was faithful. He had pristine character. He had integrity. All right? They're trying, but they couldn't do it. So then they thought, listen, we need to cook up a plan. We need to cook up a plan. And the only plan that we can cook up, if it has to do with his relationship with his God. So they start this plan, all righty, to take him down. Now, here's the problem that I see. This happens today. I probably see this happen more so in new believers, someone who is just new in the faith, new followers in Jesus. I see this happen over and over and over again. And then I also see it in some senior saints. But what happens is they believe, I'm serving God now. I'm a follower, a wholehearted follower of Jesus. So I shouldn't have any hard times in my life. Yeah. Okay? Listen, God, I'm trying to do everything you tell me to do, and how come people are coming against me? God, I shouldn't have any hard times. Well, the reality is that's just not true. How many would say, yes, Pastor D? All right. And listen, the why. Turn over to Ephesians 6. This is the why. Ephesians 6, 12. Why does that happen? Well, the earth is cursed, but more importantly, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the powers, rulers of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right? So I will tell you, whenever you are moving forward or you are moving and the kingdom of God is moving forward, you're going to have some resistance. It is what it is based on Ephesians 6, okay? You're going to have resistance. And the resistance looks different a lot of times. But probably the hard part is to not get mad at the person who's causing this. And remember, it's the rulers and the principalities of darkness, okay? Now, I will say they like to use people. Satan likes to use people. Your enemy uses people. Your enemy uses your spouse sometimes. Your best buddy sometimes. The guys at work. Well-meaning people he'll use. And surprise, 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 he uses Christians sometimes. Says a lot, right? So, one day I was having one of my, because I was having these things go wrong in my life. I had these trials. I had opposition in my life. And I went to a good pastor friend of mine. And I was doing my, wah! And he, write this down. He said, D, so you say you. If you are not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God. All of a sudden I was like, if you are not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. What? You can't do that. Carol gets that's so weird. That thing? Okay, you want me to clip it on the outside? You can't bend the cord. Okay, we'll try it. Here we go. I'm going to say this again. If you are not ready for opposition when you're serving God, for your obedience serving God, then you're not ready to be used by God. So Dolores, you know what he's, what's Patty always say? Well, put your big girl panties on. Translation. All right. So now, I don't do that anymore. When I have opposition, when things are getting really rough in my life, okay, I don't do the anymore. Matter of fact, I don't whine and cry. As a matter of fact, you should worry if you don't have any opposition in your life. You should be a little worried if it's just a piece of cake, a stroll in the park all the time in your life. Because I just might say this to you. What are you doing serving the Lord? Okay? Joyce Meyer says, new levels, new devils. Okay? So if you're doing something for God, opposition comes with it. Okay? And unfortunately, Satan uses people. You forgive them, but anyway. So let's go back to Daniel. Daniel is in opposition, but Daniel is standing up and Daniel is standing strong. He's got all sorts of things going on, but he's standing up, he's standing out, and he's standing strong. And sure enough, he's got opposition against him. So now these two administrators decide they want to take him down. So what do these guys do? How are they going to take him down? Have you ever had anybody slime you, butter you up, flatter you? Well, that's what these guys do. They go up to the king. And now, I don't know what buttered up looks like to the king. Like, I don't know if they said, hey, man, you must be working out. You're like, you're really pumped, I can tell. I don't know if that's how you butter up a king. Now, me, you should say, oh, Pastor D, I like your shoes. Okay? And those earrings just go so nice. All right? But whatever they did, you know, because when you read it, it says, King Darius, live forever. Okay, that doesn't really kind of stroke my boat. But whatever they did, it worked. It worked. They buttered up the king, and they say, hey, king, you know what you should do? You should make this law. In the next 30 days, nobody can worship any god or any human being except for you, O Majesty. Oh, you, O King, O Majesty. So they actually go after his pride and his ego, and he bites it. He bites it, and he writes this law that says for the next 30 days, nobody can pray to any other god, any other human being except for you, O Majesty. All right? So they do that. Now, this kind of creates a problem for Daniel, doesn't it? He's got a problem. All right? And the reason why he has a problem is because he was a great man of prayer. He had a prayer life. I wonder if God would be saying, oh my gosh, they have a great prayer life. Wow, they must have some troubles in their life. No, 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 no. Okay, erase that. Sorry, shouldn't say that. All right, so let me back up. So this creates a problem for Daniel because he does have a prayer life. He's a great man of prayer. But the interesting thing is, when Daniel gets into this problem, he doesn't know the end of the story. You know when the story finishes, the movie finishes, it says the end. You know it's the end, all right? Daniel doesn't know the end of the story. He's actually in the middle of the story. Daniel is in the middle of the story, but watch what Daniel does. He makes a decision. He's in the middle of the story. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And he makes a decision. And I'd like to say he has three options. Option number one. Door number one. Option number one. Stop praying. Now I can just think that, oh, you know, I do have that option. You know, God, I have been faithful in praying. I have a prayer life for 80 plus years. God, I think I should take the month off. Because God, I am worth more alive than dead. So God, you okay with this? I'm going to take the month off. I'm going to quit praying for a month. And then we'll pick up where we left off. Option number one. Selena's going, no. Option number two. Fake it. God, I'm just going to do the silent prayer thing. What are you doing, Daniel? Oh, nothing. Okay. Daniel, you praying? Okay, I'm going to keep silent. Or option number three, which is what Daniel picked. I am going to continue to publicly pray before my God. All right, option number three. Option number three. You know, option number two was pretty cool. Okay, now here's my question. What on the world, how did this happen that Daniel built such a faith relationship in his God in prayer? What happened in Daniel's life that he had built this relationship that he would pray three times a day? Anybody know? I don't know. But let me say this. He had developed a prayer life. And if you're going to have a prayer life, it's the one thing that'll cause you to stand strong. So prayer, now Daniel kneeled in prayer. I have to tell you, I can't think of but a dozen times where I've kneeled in prayer, all right? But I have done the face on the floor in prayer. Like, God, I am serious. Face on the carpet and praying. But Daniel had a prayer life that caused him to stand strong. Now, let's read chapter 6, verse 10. Here we go. Verse 10. Here we go. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber, opened towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks, underline that, before his God as he had done previously. Okay, underline previously. What was Daniel doing? Okay. He's on his knees praying. Now, what's your first response when you have opposition in your life? What is the first thing? Do you start freaking out and getting panic? Is that the first thing you do? I mean, I'm a fixer. Is it the first time things are blowing up all over the place? I go running around trying to fix it. I like this word. I kind of manipulate so I can get things to happen the way I want to. And then many times people will do the last thing. Okay, I guess all we can do now is pray. Or, hey, you know, I'm kind of going through this. Can you say a little prayer for me today? All right. Talk about, I know where you're located when you do that. Our first response should be Daniel. Daniel's first response was on his knees in prayer. What's his first response? Prayer. What's his first response? Prayer. Okay. So what we need to do when we run into these things that hit us, the machine guns of circumstances and opposition and, you know, everything's breaking down, everything that I planned's falling apart, we can pray. We can pray. And listen, we can pray because Jesus went and defeated the devil, took back the authority, and then he said, I'm giving it to you. So we can pray. We can pray because we have authority, and we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and say, hey, God, we can pray. We can pray because I know he hears my prayer. I'm one of his favorites. And Jesus opened the door that I can come in there. And he hears me pray. So what's your first response? Prayer. Now, what was Daniel's first response? prayer, okay? Now, what did Daniel do? He went up, he did what he always did. Now, listen, last week we talked about if you're going to stand out, you will have to predetermine to stand out. It just doesn't bling, happen. You have to decide ahead of time that I am making a choice to stand for the Lord. You know, when I get into these situations before, I should make the decision of what's going to happen. So I'm going to predetermine. Daniel, long time ago, must have predetermined he was going to pray 3 times a day. Because that day, when the decree hit, when the law went down, he didn't go, oh my gosh, what should I do? Oh, should I do this? I wonder if I get the rest of my buddies, though. No. What is the first thing he did? He got on his knee and he prayed. Daniel must have predetermined a long time ago to develop, to have a life of prayer. So when the opposition hit, he did what he always did. He read the decree. Matter of fact, you probably got called on the carpet. Hey, Daniel, listen, this is the new law. The king signed it. If you are caught praying to anybody but the majesty, King Darius, you're going to go be lion's food. And Daniel's like, thank you very much. And he goes home. He goes upstairs. The windows are open. He's praying as he always did. Daniel, a long time ago, had predetermined that he had faith in his God and that he would pray. He would pray. So, what have you predetermined? Or are you going to wait till you are just in the middle of the muck? It is much easier to predetermine, I pray. Okay? Now, how many times a day did Daniel pray? So, 3 times. He gets up in the morning and he prays. In the afternoon he prays. And then when he wraps up his day, he prays. All right? Now, he didn't pray just because he was in trouble. He didn't pray because nobody liked him. He didn't pray that way. He prayed 3 times a day. He started his day in the middle of the day and wrapped up his day. All right? He prayed. Now, for me, I get up in the morning. I push that coffee button. I don't care, not apologizing for it. And I grab that thing and I sit on the sofa with my Bible. And I have predetermined a long time ago, that is how I start my day. All right? And I spend time in the Word, and then I shut my mouth and I listen. And then I open my mouth and I just guts out. God, this is what's going on in my life. I got some situations, and then I shut my mouth and I listen. Now, it's taken me a long time to do the shut your mouth and listen. I used to go, blah, 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 and then I go, oh, gosh, God, I'm out of time. Okay? But now, I am a little older and a day smarter. So I get up there and I get quiet and I am waiting for God to direct my path. I am waiting to hear the wisdom of God. I am waiting and he's talking to me and he's giving me the wisdom and he's telling me about my family and he's telling about the church folks and he's, just pouring out. As I pray, he talks to me. I predetermined a long time ago to do that because I used to be, okay. So I have predetermined. Now, let me say this. If you have not predetermined, I say this nicely, you most likely are not going to grow in your relationship with the Lord. I mean, it's nice. I'll come and feed you. Open your mouth. I'll feed you on Sunday. Open your mouth. I'll feed you. Okay? Okay? But if you predetermine every day, I'm not quite 3 times a day. I do the morning and the night. Usually my middle prayer in the day is, oh, God, I'm getting there. Okay, I'm real. Okay, yeah, you too. Okay, but if you do not predetermine to have this intimacy with God, I will guarantee that you're not going to grow in intimacy with God. All right, I watched Daniel's life. I watched my life. So make it a priority. Make it a priority. All right, just like Daniel. It just start 1 time a day, really 2 times a day. The morning one, that takes discipline. The evening one, just real quick. Thank you, Jesus, for the steak. Okay? That's how my used to start out. My last prayer at night, the wrap-up prayer. God, thank you for this day. It was so wonderful. Good night. Kiss. Bam. Okay? But now, it takes me a little bit a while to go to bed, asleep at night. Because I'm hashing out with God. I'm telling him what happened. I'm thanking him. And then I'm asking him. I do probably most of my thanking at the end of the night. So it's good. But listen, if you do not predetermine to have a relationship with the Lord today, you probably are not going to have this intimate life knowing him and him involved in your life. So how many are going to predetermine? Yes, I'm going to do this. Amen. Predetermine. Okay, where am I? Hallelujah. Predetermine. Now, let me say something about Daniel. It says he knelt down. Knelt down. Kneeling signifies humility. Hey, God, listen, I got this. Okay, that's kind of an attitude. But when you kneel down, it's a humility, it's a submitting. So Daniel was just this wholehearted, submitted man of God. And he knelt down 3 times a day. All right? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Predetermined. 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 And I will say, he's 80 plus years old kneeling down. Hey, hope you're kneeling down at 80 and up and down and up and down. Okay. Daniel had predetermined that he was going to seek God long time ago in prayer. So when life has oppositions, what are we going to do? First response, we're going to seek God. When oppositions hit, seek God. Make it a priority. So, now, this is my last one. Oh my gosh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Last one, write this down. When you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. When you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. When you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. All right? All right. Now, I have a bad habit. This isn't the bad habit, but it doesn't seem like I have enough time. And every once in a while, I'll pick up a novel to read. I probably have read 2 last year. I'm reading other things. But every once in a while, I'll pick up a novel. And lo and behold, I don't have enough time. And do you know what I do all the time when I don't have enough time and I'm reading a novel? I read the last chapter. I have a good friend that we used to swap book with, and she'd go, it's so bad of you. I can't believe you read the last chapter. Well, I do. And then sometimes I never get around to reading the middle of it because I just ran out of time. And other times I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good. I'll go back maybe next year and I'll read the book. Okay? Let me tell you this about Daniel. Daniel didn't get to read the end of the story when he made his decision, did he? I decide sometimes when I cheat and read the last chapter if I'm going to read the rest of the book. Man, the ending was good. Okay, I'll go back and read it. Daniel did not have he didn't read the end of the story when he made his decision. Did he? Nope. Okay. All he knew was that for 80 plus years, his God was faithful. Pastor D, the guy was captured when he was 12 plus years old and he's lived in captivity. In Daniel's eyes, for 80 plus years, his God was faithful. And he made his decision because his God was always faithful. All right? Now listen, I can't guarantee that what you want is going to happen. I can't promise you that you doing right, you're going to get the results you want. But I can guarantee that if you do what's right, put your trust in the Lord, the results will be good. Okay. Now, what I found out, my definition of good and God's definition of good is good. It's good. All right? So Daniel, he didn't know the end of the story, and he had just known his God. He knew his God. Okay, next to the story. So Daniel broke the law, And he gets thrown into the lion's den. Right before that, the king is absolutely devastated. Not that Daniel broke the law. King Darius, he really liked Daniel. He had favor. Daniel had favor. He was a great worker. He really liked him. So when he did this, these guys, these administrators come up and said, well, Daniel broke the law. You need to throw him in the lion's den. He tried everything in his power to change the law, and he couldn't. All right? So Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. The king goes home to his palace, and he goes, and he doesn't eat. He doesn't eat. He doesn't play PlayStation. He lays awake at night, and he is distraught. He could not sleep. And finally, the sun is coming up, and the king is out of his bed. He's running to where Daniel and the lion's den is. And as he's running, he's yelling, Daniel, Daniel, are you okay? Daniel, are you okay? Daniel, the God who you have served and been so loyal to, has he saved you? And he hears this voice, oh, king, live forever. Okay, I got to read this because it is so good. Turn over to verse 20. I can't, oh, man, makes me cry every time I read that. 21, let's do that. Then Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. Oh, king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad. Are you kidding me? He was dancing the jig. And commanded that Daniel be taken out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Okay. He had trusted in his God. Daniel had done right before God. Daniel had done right before God. He trusted in God, and the end results was good. Now, those other guys, did they do right? Guess what? They were lion's dinner. And it says they were thrown to the lion's den with their wives and their children. Well, that's pretty severe. So you heads of houses better straighten up, okay? But Daniel was loyal and faithful always to his God. And the king recognized it. So then the king writes this decree. Everybody, you need to love the Lord God of Daniel and la, 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 la. Okay. And how do I wrap this up? Number one, if God has called you, by the way, you are all called by God. The day you got born again, he handed you a calling. And if he has called you and he's given you things to do, if you are going to be obedient, you can expect some opposition. You can expect people to tear you down. It comes with a trade, especially if you have any kind of leadership. And I'm not just talking about church. You got any kind of leadership in your life, you're over people. I'm telling you, it comes with it. Just expect it, all right? And number two, if you want to be strong in the opposition, you have to develop prayer. You have to, it should be your habit. First response. So, you know, it's really funny. I was talking to this gentleman, he called in the church this week, and he was going on and telling me the circumstances. And let me tell you, they were not really great circumstances. So I actually gave him 5 minutes. Okay? It was okay. They were good. He needed to share. And then I said, hey, let's pray now. All right? There's only so much information I could gather, and I figured it out. So I said, hey, enough of that. Let's pray. Oh, yes, Pastor D, let's pray. Like revelation. So we prayed. We took authority over the enemy who was working through people. We spoke life, and we spoke good things and blessings. And then I prayed for this person that they would walk in love and forgiveness, because the people weren't nice to him, and they were done. So you can listen to people tell you circumstances. Please, you need to. Don't be rude. Oh, shut up, you know, you big baby, you're just going to pray. You need to listen to people, okay? Sometimes 10 minutes, okay? But find the line and then say, hey, we're going to pray. because I know I have put my trust in my God, and He will turn things around. Things will change, okay? All right, I don't know how to end this here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's do what you said, Pastor D. Father God, we thank You that You have always been faithful to us. And it is our decision, our determination, our commitment now to be faithful to You. We will be faithful to stand strong in opposition. We will be faithful to go to You first in prayer. And we will be faithful to tell of Your great and wonderful works. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today, every eye closed.